My name is Cedric. Those who don't know me, I'm an African. My wife is Cherie. She's an American. And I have three kids that are African Americans. So I had to figure that out. Like, where's my family lineup? So I had to, so we don't have a mixed up identity. So I know where I'm from, and my wife knows where she's from, and my kids in the middle somehow. I think in the Indian Ocean, where they cross African Americans, right? All right, so let me tell you a few things that's happened this week or last week. As I said, if for some reason you're having a hard time in understanding me, I have a few of my students over here, and the only thing they do, they just pay attention and read my lips. And then at the end of the day, when I ask them, did you understand what I talked about? They're like, nah. I'm like, oh. That said, then I need to write them a note or something, say, this is what I said, and put it in writings. If you don't understand anything that I'm saying today, it's okay. They have a copy of my message. So just pick it up at the end of when I'm done, okay? As I said, there's a lot of things going on this week. And let me tell you, one thing that's encouraged me last week was to see believers coming together and pray. That was powerful. We went into Kelsey's house where we went and prayed. It was amazing just to see new faces, people that I don't even know where they come from, and I didn't even care to know them. The only thing that they had one goal. Let's pray for those who are lost. Let's pray for those who feel rejected. We pray for those who feel like they are alone. And then we just say, hey, you know what? We're going to come and stand with you. Like when Chris puts a slide over here and saying, hey, if you want to stand with the refugees, can you please go over there? In my mind, I was like, yeah, absolutely, I'm in. I went over there. I did not expect to see, like, the whole church. Like literally, I was like, where I'm going to sit? Okay, right here on the floor. And right? And a lot of people coming in, pleading to God and say, God, we have no idea what's going on over here. But the only thing that we know is that, God, you are in charge. And what happens? God show up. Boom. God come down. And that's what happens when a bunch of believers comes. Right? Comes together with one mind. It just reminded me so much of the church in Acts, when people have the same mind with the same goal, everything in them, it was common. And I was so encouraged about that. So thank you, guys. Thank you for opening up your house and let us do that. And as I said, many things happening in the United States. Today, it is one of the biggest nights in the United States, right? where people will be sitting down, millions of Americans are sitting down, gazing in their TV screen and seeing who's going to win, right? So, right when I was watching this, like last year, I was like, this is amazing. One, I didn't know anything about football. The first thing when I came to the United States and I see these guys wearing tights, running up and down and tackling themselves, I was like, this is not the idea of men that I know, right? But well, welcome to the United States. That was a part of my cultural shock. So, but the thing that was happening, that will happen today. Maybe some of you will be angry, to be honest with you. Some of you will be yelling. Some of you will be happy. And some of you will be saying things that probably question your character. And some of you will be like wanting to punch the TV screen. And some of you want to get on the TV and hold the reference and say, that was a bad call. You know, it's going to be ugly. And then today I am talking about the fruit, about the tree and the fruit. And basically, I'm just following up from what Chris has talked about last week. The idea of do not judge. Because why? Jesus is the judge. Because Jesus said so. So our job, we should not do it. Because we are bad at doing that job. Why are we bad? We have our own baggage in our lives. So we should not do that. So I'm continuing from that. And so while others are feeling like, you know what? Today, the only today, I refuse to do other things. The only things I'm going to do is one. All right, is this on? right? Here we go. So maybe some of us would become like this guy. This guy, he says, I refuse to hate police officers. I refuse to hate black people. I refuse to hate gay people. I refuse to hate people in general. I refuse to hate, except New England patriots. I hate the patriots. At the same time, my wife showed me this. I was like, that is so perfect, because that is like me. I am a Colts fan, so you know how that looks like, right? And me and the patriots, we don't have a good relationship so much. I don't hate them. I'm just like, oh my goodness, they win all the time. So that's why I don't like them. So we're going to join into our scripture today. One, I'm reading, and then please follow me. As I said in your Bibles, this is where it's read. No good tree bears bad fruit. Nor does the bad tree bears good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from the briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for this morning. I thank you that God, you are here. I thank you that Father, you kept us safe till this far. I thank you that, Father, you are the Lord who hears us. I thank you that, Lord, you love each and every person in this room. Lord, I thank you for the scripture that has read this morning. Lord, I just pray, Father, that, Lord, you show up. I pray for you, Holy Spirit, to come down. Lord, I pray that you shut my mouth if I say things that's going to destroy this community. I pray that, Lord, you speak, not me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm going to pick up right where it says there's no good tree bears bad fruit. No, there's a bad tree bears good fruit. First of all, just to give a little bit of the historical context in this parable. This is a parable where Jesus is talking. He's talking into the bunch of people that somehow, when he says this, they kind of understand what Jesus he means by this, first of all. Because one, this is just like a sharp warning into hypocrites. It is a sharp warning that is going into the hypocrites. It's directed strictly into the people who are in leadership of the church. And if I have to put it in today, it could be probably pastors saying, hey, be careful in standing in front and telling your members how to act, but your act, it's other way. And then when people are hearing this, the first thing is they know this is a way of what's measuring, it's a standard of measuring if you think of the Old Testament, on how the kings were measured, on how the prophets were measured. And then even Isaiah and Jeremiah, they do speak of this and say, hey, if you're a good prophet, there will be good things going to come to you. And the bad prophets, what's going to happen to them? The bad things will happen to them because it is impossible for the bad tree to come good fruit from them. And then Jeremiah, and then he says this, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to renew each person according to their conduct, according to what they did. And then we continue, and Isaiah said almost the same thing. Tell the righteous it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruits of their hands. This is like in someone, it talks about the person who's like a tree. A tree that is planted by the streams of water which yields its own fruits. The idea of saying a bad tree, it is impossible for it to bear any good fruit. And this is not so hard to understand. A bad tree, a bad person cannot say good things, right? And then we continue. A good man brings good things out of the stone in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the store of his, in his own heart. For the mouth speaks whatever the heart is full of. We can never, unfortunately, try to act when it comes to these verses. One is just setting up the standard of who we are, first as Christians. It's setting up the standard of what we say. It's need to vibrant of what we do. Everything that we say and what we do, it's counted in this. It's set up the standard. That is why somehow when I drive my kids to school, they are drivers that just drive me crazy. And I must, at my time, I leave my house. I'm supposed to leave my house right at 6:57 because it takes 3 minutes from my house to take them to school. And then the school opens right at 7 o'clock. And then if I'm in the door at 7 o'clock, I know from their school, it takes 20 minutes from there to my work. And I start working right at 7:20. So my time is limited. It's like this. Well, what happens as soon as I get into the road? They are just drivers that I love. The drivers that they will drive on the speed limit, so you know. And I am behind the wheel, and then I'm seeing them. The first thing they do, they're going to drive slow. And then the thing that comes into my mind, I'm like, great. That is so great. I'm going to be so early today at work. I'm going to be so early. It's so good because of you. I keep on just saying so things, and then somehow I want to scream. I'm like, argh! I cannot scream loud enough because my kids over here, they'll be like, Dad, is this you? Right? And then I will like try to say things, and my parents like, what is going on with you? Can you please drive? I cannot pass because guess what? It's not a passing lane. Oh, well, I live by my house. There's a train. I love trains. Because right when you are late, guess what they do? They stop. Right over here, this morning, I get over here, and then I said to her, like, oh, my wife, she hasn't been here yet. She hasn't been here. And then I text her, honey, where you at? Oh, she didn't respond. And then when she came over here and says, there was a train. I'm like, yep. There's a train that doesn't move. So sometimes there are things that just aggravate us. That it questions of who we are, that questions our character, that we end up saying things that even ourselves, like, who is this person? We end up asking ourselves, what is going on? So in this passage, there are a few things that I want us to really consider today. One, we need to look in ourselves. If for some reason you don't understand what I'm saying, please capture these things, our actions and our words. What do we say? Are the fruits of our life express the care for others? Or just we only care about the things that matter to ourselves? Are we working for justice for those who are in the trenches or for those who are in the margins? Do we seek justice in our own life? I'm not talking about your friends. I'm not talking about the country. I'm talking about you. Do we seek justice? Do we fight for those who are in our trenches? Because there's the one thing about our religion, about Christianity, is that Jesus came and died for those who are lost. And let me tell you something. I'm living here in South Bend probably for like 10 years now. I have seen people in South Bend who are lost. You go to the streets everywhere. Maybe we know them. We have them in our churches. What do we do with those people? Or maybe we hope that maybe a center for the homeless is going to do something. And then for me, I'm just going to stay behind my door and maybe I will pray for them. Or maybe we hope that somebody at Hope Ministries is going to take those people because me, I'm just going to say, hey, I am too busy to do anything. Or we hope that the justice juvenile system will take those kids because for us, we are so busy with our own kids. What do we do with our own fruit? This is us. When we are talking about the fruit, what kind of fruit are we bearing? And Jesus, he says something like this. It is impossible for a tree to bear any fruit if it's not connected into the branch. And then he says this, If the tree does not bear any fruit, I am going to chop it down. He says, that tree is just chopped down. And I remember this. Can I get off of the stage? Thank you. I remember this when Jesus was going into Jerusalem. Jesus is going into Jerusalem. I have no idea what he was going to do. But according to Mark, we were told that Jesus, he went to Jerusalem to clean the temple. When he was going into Jerusalem, and guess what happened? He found a fig tree. Mark tells us that the fig tree, it was not the season for it to bear fruit. Mark 11, if for some reason maybe I'm misquoting this story and then can go back. It was not a season for the tree to bear any fruit. But Jesus looked at the tree, and then because he was hungry, and then he looked at the tree, there was no fruit. And then Jesus, he cast the tree. And then he continued, he goes into the Jerusalem, into the temple. When he goes into the temple, and then he found the money packers over there. He found right in a temple, that's right where the Gentiles were sitting. They pushed the Gentiles away, and they started to sell where the Gentiles were supposed to be sitting and hearing the word of God. What does Jesus do? He goes in, he turned the table up, he whipped them up. And then that is a way of Jesus cleaning. And then just imagine over here, somehow Keith comes. Keith is our pastor, right? And then he comes into the stage, and then he starts removing things and throwing things up and down. And then what's going to happen? Who's going to say, hey, what is going on to Keith this morning? And then maybe one of the elders like, nah, he's cleaning the temple, right? He's cleaning the stage. Wait, what? Yeah, this is a way. This is what Jesus does. Jesus, he goes into the temple. He finds out that they are not doing what God has called them to do. And guess what he do? He whip them up. My question for you, what is it that we have in our lives that we need to clean? That we need Jesus to whip it up? What is it that we have in our mind, in our lives, that is so hard to fix it for ourselves? But we need Jesus to come and clean it. I know myself, I have a lot of baggages. There's so many things that I'm not certain about. But one thing that I know, that the fruits that we bear are not for us. Let me say that one more time. The fruit that we bear, the fruit that we try, the fruit that when we connected to Jesus, that because of Jesus, he produced those fruit through us, it's not for you. It's for the other people. Are for the people that you work with. Are for those that you hate. Are for those that are lost. Because when they come to you, they should not see you. They should see what God is doing in their lives. When they come to us, they should be challenged by who we are. And finally, that's where people should look at us and say, this is what it means to be a Christian. Not based on what we say, based on how we live our lives. This message is not hard. It's not something we have to go back and put up our commentaries and see exactly what it means. It's simple. Put your acts together because you have Jesus. Because of Jesus, you need to put your act together. So, I've been talking. There's a lady here that was my student. I saw her a little bit when I was joining the crossing. And she was a student that was struggling in school. One was attendance was very tough. And then she comes to us, and she's like, okay, I need to enroll. I was like, great. And when the student was here, and then she still struggled. She's here today. She's going to share her testimony of how the fruits of other people affected her. And then to see in our life what happens when we live the life that Jesus is calling us to live. What happens to other people? Lily, do we have a mic that works? This one? Thank you. Lily. Is it on? I don't know what you're saying when you do this. Oh, here we go. That's good. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? My name's Lily. I graduated from The Crossing, and I'm here to share my testimony of Mr. Cedric, as I call him, has been very kind to me and my family. My brother attends the school now, and he loves it. Him and all the teachers there are amazing. You know, it's really important to be surrounded by believers when you're in a tough situation and when you're trying to follow Christ. It's not easy if you're out by yourself. You know, two are better than one, and to be around men and women of God who really have this good fruit is amazing. It can change your life. I love my life now. When I started at The Crossing, I was in a really bad situation. I was a teen mom. I had my daughter at 16, and I was in an abusive relationship. Her father, you know how that goes. So I'm not going to get into detail with that, because it's horrible. It was a horrible experience, and I thought that was it. And now Mr. Cedric has talked to me about missionary work and stuff, because I grew up a Christian. I always knew Jesus. I just know it. I remember praying, being 4 years old, and crying out to him, because my parents were in a relationship similar to mine. So, you know, when you're in that and you grow up that way, you tend to continue the cycle. And I'm glad that God has broken the cycle, and now I am married. Thank you. I prayed to God for a husband, and he gave me what I asked for, and it's supernatural. It's God. I see God everywhere and everything, because when you believe in him, he really shows you that he's there. He'll never leave you alone. I pulled up the Fruit of the Spirit, and Galatians 5:22, and I just want to share it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And I know at The Crossing, that's what they do. They have the fruit of the Spirit. And it's passing on to me, and I'm passing it on to others. And I love it. I love believers. I love you guys. And I know God loves you guys more. Thank you.
This is just an extension of what is happening when the believers are living the life that God is calling them to be. It's nothing really that is so hard. It's not hard at all. And most of the time when I'm thinking about this, I come into the point of, like, can you imagine in our church what would be like when we don't only live in a life where we're only focusing in ourselves, but also we live the life that we are focusing on other people? What would it be like? Just imagine when the stranger come into our church, they feel like this is a place. Not because we do something totally different than other churches, just because we are living the life that Jesus is calling us to live. I really am convinced that guy who says, I refuse to hate. I really think at the end, that guy's heart will be transformed and say, finally, I love New England Patriots. Some of you saying, never. It's okay. It's because the transformation doesn't happen from the outside. It's happened from the inside. James Lovers talks 2 weeks ago about loving our enemies. It was not a choice that we have to make. It's because of our religion. It's because of what Jesus came and do in our lives. Chris talk about not judge. It's not a choice. It is because of who we are. When people come to our lives, they need to feel that they are loved. Now they need to feel condemnation. It's who we are. Well, sometimes I can say all this and then probably some people's like, but Cedric, what is going on? Why I struggle with these things? That is why we have Jesus. That is why we have a community. That is why we have the church. That life is not perfect. We struggle with the things that Jesus is calling us to do. But if we try to be monsters and live this life all by ourselves, that is where things become tough. I know the church has small groups everywhere. And I would love to see this conversation continued in their small groups. Because we struggle. And my students say struggle is real. And struggle is real in Christian life. It's better if we are all involved in the struggle. So now I'm going to go ahead and pray. And then here at Renew, here at Riverside, we have communion every week. The reason for communion, it is a reminder of Jesus. And Jesus, he speak about this. He made you in Mark, in Luke, even in 1st, 2nd Corinthians. And then he says, do this in remembering of me. So over here, we are doing it not because we want to see something else. It's just a reminder that God, we cannot live this life on our own. We need you. And today we still remember of what Jesus has done in our lives. That is why you are not forced to come and do it. You take your time, you look into your life. And if you are struggling with this, pull someone. Say, hey, these are my struggles. Please pray for me. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for the life that, Father, you have called us to live. We thank you for the struggles that happens every day. We thank you for what you are doing even to the people that, Lord, we don't even think about. We thank you for the fruit of the Spirit that God comes and saying, hey, you need to produce them. We thank you for each and everyone who are here in church today. Lord, we thank you for our community. We thank you for our families. We thank you for the life that you have given us. We thank you, Father, for our kids. Lord, I pray this morning that, Father, help us. Help us to be the man that God has called us to be. Help us to be the women that God has called us to be. Lord, help us to manifest these fruits of the Spirit everywhere as we go. Help us, Lord, remember that, Father, you died for us. And you died for those that we don't think about. Even for those in the trenches. For those who are lost. For those who are hopeless. For those who have no homes. For those who are homeless. You died for the murderers, God. You died for the rapist. Lord, we called you. Say, God, come in our life. Our life is messy. We are living in a mess, Lord. We call you God in families. We need you, Father. We need you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit.